time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Hey everyone, it's Kathy.
And Paul here with Adulting.
We're here to help you navigate the crazy world of adulting.
Because let's be real, it's a wild ride. We'll be dropping tips, sharing stories,
and maybe even spilling some embarrassing secrets along the way.
So get comfortable, grab your favorite drink, get ready to laugh, learn, and level up your adulting game. This is Adulting. Don't forget to like, follow, and or subscribe, and share this podcast. Head over to adulting.com for more information and to submit questions for us about adulting.
And maybe even pick up some of our new merchandise. And if you know any fellow adults who need some guidance, send them our way.
And feel free to share this podcast freely out there. We'd like to get our numbers up. Welcome back to Adulting. All right, young drivers, listen up. A quick pre-trip inspection can save you a lot of hassle, money, and even prevent accidents. Here are some good tips to get you in the habit.
First, we're going to talk about what we call is the walk around. So the first thing you want to do is look at your tires. Make sure they're inflated properly. Don't just kick them. Like, actually go out, look at them, see how they're sitting, see if they look low. Low tires can affect how your car handles and your fuel economy.
Check, make sure the tires don't have any bulges, cuts, any nails or screws sticking out of them. Just a quick glance. And it's always a good idea to know what your tires look like with proper inflation. I know that takes a little bit more experience. You won't be able to tell the difference between like 32 pounds and 31 pounds. But if you're looking at your tire and it's at 20 PSI, you'll definitely see that.
And know the location of your jack, your spare tire, and your lug wrench. Know how to change a tire. This is something that we did with every one of our children. We brought them out into the driveway and had them change a tire. We gave them instructions, walked them through it, but had them actually do it so that they were comfortable if they ever got a flat that they'd be able to change their tire to a spare tire.
And then when they get a flat, they call us anyway. And like a dutiful super dad, I run out and go change a tire usually.
That is correct.
Even when they're stuck on an island in them.
Check your lights, your headlights. You need to know if your low beams, which are your regular lights, and your high beams, which are the bright ones that you use when no one else is around and it's a dark area, that they're working.
And high beams are not just extra lights. You shouldn't be driving with them on when there's a lot of traffic around. I see that very often today.
Please don't drive with your high beams on when you're going against traffic. It blinds us.
Taillights are a little bit tricky. You want to know that your brake lights and your blinkers are working, but this is a little bit difficult to do by yourself. What I do is I'll back up to something, and I don't do this every pre-trip inspection, but I'll back up to, say, another vehicle in a parking lot that's shiny, and I'll make sure my blinkers and brake lights are working using my rearview mirrors.
You can also ask someone if you have other people that live with you or live around you, and you're worried that a brake light is out or a turn signal's not working, you can just ask them, hey, could you just look and let me know this is working when I step on the brake or turn on my blinkers?
And your hazards, old school hazards, you need to know how to turn them on and off. It's usually the little triangle on your dashboard somewhere, push button in today's car.
And keep your car clean. So if you go to the car wash or you're outside in your driveway washing your car, make sure you do things like the windows and the mirrors and the headlights.
Now, mirrors and windows are important to keep clean and adjusted. We just had a mini debate about, do you actually check your mirrors when you're pulling out of a parking lot? Well, yeah, but admittedly, I'm I'm a little bit OCD about things.
Okay, I didn't say you actually like it's unheard of. I said you do it every single time you get in your car.
I do. And I honestly would also battle ready park every time I park too, but I've broken that habit because it drives you nuts.
And you are OCD.
Battle ready for younger people is when you back into your spot so you can get out of Dodge quickly if you need to. But you definitely, in the morning, first trip, you want to check your mirrors, both side mirrors and your back mirror. Make sure it's adjusted right, because how bad would you feel driving down the road if you hit an endangered ostrich that was crossing the road because you were actually distracted adjusting your mirror?
Or if you're on a multi-lane road and you just need to shift lanes and you hit the front of someone's car because you didn't adjust your mirrors and didn't see them.
Fluid leaks. When you're approaching your car in a parking lot, in a public parking lot, and you're not in a secure space, we'll call it, or not as secure, then you're going to bypass most of this. You're going to get in your car and lock the doors immediately. Don't worry about the check. You'll do that down the road or something. You'll pull over. We're talking mostly pre-trip checks before you're going out first thing in the morning. And a very quick version of this when you walk up to your car in a parking lot or something. But you want to look as you approach your car, see if there's any puddles or anything that weren't there that you weren't expecting. Remember, air conditioning does leak water. It's not leaking, it's draining water. But you want to make sure there's no oil, there's no brake fluid, there's no puddles that you weren't expecting under the car.
Oil's typically dark brown or like a deep, deep red color. Coolant is typically green, orange, pink. It's a lighter, some of it is gold. Those are the things that if they're leaking, you need to go get it fixed.
And if you do see a leak, don't just ignore it. Please, please, please don't ignore it. Cars today cost so much money and it costs you so much to maintain them. These fluids that you may see on the ground, if you develop an oil leak overnight and you drain all your oil out, you're going to seize your motor, and that's thousands and thousands of dollars to replace. So if you do see a leak, make sure you get it checked out. If you happen to be living in a situation, say like at home, there's these old parental units, you might be able to say, hey, I think I might have a leak. Can we look at this? Just definitely don't ignore it.
When you're inside your car, when you start your car, even when you first turn your key, the dash lights up. There's all kinds of crazy lights that go up. When you start the car, they all go off except the ones that are necessary. So if you see a warning light come on in your car, check it out. Google it. I used to drive a work car that was not a common car to me, and the warning lights were very different than anything I had ever driven. And probably more times than not, if a warning light came on, I was on the side of the road on my phone trying to Google it so that I could figure out what mechanic I was going to.
And there's another resource that you guys may be able to use depending on your car. If you have the owner's manual for your particular car, it'll show all those lights in there. True story, I just broke down in my 2022 Nissan Rogue. All sorts of lights came on. It was like a Christmas tree, kind of fun and festive. I had to look up what a bunch of the lights meant, and I've seen all the lights before, but this was a text message saying basically your car will self-destruct with a countdown on it. And I had about 20 seconds to get into a parking lot before it stopped running.
Make sure you have enough gas for your trip, not just to get where you're going, but to be able to get back to.
In today's cars, you want to try to keep fuel above a quarter tank because the fuel pump is located in many gas tanks. Believe it or not, the gasoline helps keep the fuel pump cool. So you don't want to ride the E if you don't have to.
Check the engine temperature gauge. So inside all cars, there is your fuel gauge, your speedometer, your odometer, and your temperature gauge. That temperature gauge should pretty much constantly be right in the center.
Now onto the steering. It's a pretty important part of the car. I think we can all agree on that. How does it feel when you start driving and don't check it when you're sitting in your driveway? Several reasons. One, it's bad for your tires. Two, your steering won't feel normal unless you're moving. So when you're moving slow, just when you get started out, does everything feel normal? Is it smooth? Is it pulling to one side? Is it making any noise? These can all be indications of problems that you might have missed in the rest of your pre-trip inspection.
Since my son has been driving, my youngest, he has been driving my car. We'll say 6 months ago, he said to me, there's something wrong with the steering. It feels like I don't have any power steering. I kind of didn't understand what he was saying. And he just let it go and I let it go and that was it. A couple weeks later, he called and said, I lost the steering again on the car. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about and what do you mean again? So he proceeded to tell me that he had that happen a lot and just didn't seem to think that it was a big deal because every time he turned the car off and back on, it would come back on and that was fine. So we had to take it to a mechanic who said it was a dealer issue. We took it to a dealer and the I thought it was fine became a $2,800 repair.
Turns out Kia's steering assembly is an entire sealed package and there were no replaceable parts. I'm a very educated car guy. Not really, not anything near what my father is. But I went out with him to check the power steering fluid and we couldn't find any. I even looked next to where the blinker fluid was, but couldn't find that either. So it was an expensive learning curve on that one.
FYI, there is no such thing as blinker fluid.
Next up is brakes. We can also tell a key story about the brakes, actually, in the squeak. So test your brakes when you first start driving slowly. Make sure that the pedal feels normal and it's not spongy and it doesn't go to the floor. Years ago, I was turning my own wrench on my 1972 Chevy Impala. I thought I was a stud in auto shop. Bled the brakes. You know, you have to tighten the bleeder valve when you're done with that. You want to know what happens if you don't? Your brakes go to the floor. And then you hit a fence. It was a wild ride.
But seriously, if your brakes feel spongy or make noise, they do have a thing called an indicator. So when your brake pads are getting low, they make a squealy noise. That's the best time to get your brakes fixed because that way you're not paying for pads and rotors. Maybe if you wait longer, you're usually paying for both.
Then on to your wipers and washer fluid. You want to make sure you can keep your window clean. Test your windshield wipers. Spray some washer fluid. Make sure everything's working properly. Also, keep your washer fluid topped off. There's no such thing as blinker fluid again. I know I was joking. You want to know that your horn is working? Give it a quick honk, unless it's very early in the morning and there's other people sleeping in the house, just to make sure. And again, once you've done this a couple times on your car, it becomes second nature, and you don't need to check all these things every time. I often leave very early. I don't honk my horn, because then the dogs would bark and the other humans would be bothered.
You probably wouldn't miss it if your horn didn't work, because I don't think you ever really beep your horn. I, on the other hand, seem to get cut off a lot, and I use my horn plus some other gestures often.
Well, and there have been times where I need my horn. Anyone who's been driving a while will think I'm an idiot. Sometimes I freeze wondering where my horn is because I use it that frequently. It's in the Nissan. It's right in the center of the steering wheel where they're pretty universally located. It's just not what I'm used to doing.
You know what? If you're on a side street, someone's walking, you literally can give a beep, beep. One, it checks your horn, and two, give a little wave. It's like a nice good morning for someone else.
Consistency is key. You want to make it a daily habit. If you do it every day, it becomes part of your muscle memory and your driver profile. You just get used to doing it. You don't have to take it to the extremes I do. My background in the fire service and in EMS, we develop driver training courses and we actually very closely mirror the CDL requirements. So when I say things like pre-trip inspection, that's where that vernacular is coming from, not just safety, Steve.
Listen to your car. Pay attention to any new or unusual noises, smells, or vibrations. Trust me, I am the queen of hearing odd things coming from my vehicle. And I have a very distinct way of describing them, which is typically ridiculous, but I know that it's not right. So I know to take it, even if no one else understands how I'm explaining it. I know something's wrong with the car and I do take it to a mechanic.
I do recall once being told, it sounded like you ran over a turkey and dropped a toolbox? Was that the description?
Like I ran over a bucket of wrenches?
Yeah, that was it.
Because it was the transmission and all the parts were flailing every which direction when the car was trying to drive. So it did sound like that.
Turns out, sounds like you hit a bucket of wrenches when you lose your transmission. Don't ignore issues. Even small problems can become bigger and more expensive if left unchecked. Issues can become very expensive very quick, and you want to take care of it as early as you can find out what it is. I am very good about getting my car serviced regularly, and what that means, I wash it during the spring, summer, and fall months on my own every couple of weeks. In the winter, I'll get to the car wash to make sure I get the undercarriage done, but I'm also very good about my fluid changes. Not so good about keeping the inside of my car clean, although it is usually pretty clean.
Okay, so the next one says read your owner's manual. If you're like Paul, you will have read your owner's manual. You'll probably even be able to recall about where it is in the book, what it is you're looking for. If you're like me, you read it when you need it. So essentially, if something's broken, something's not working, you don't know how to work something, or a light comes on, that's when I open the book. I look at the index. I find what I'm looking for. I read about that specific thing, and I close it and put it back in the glove box.
Be aware of your surroundings. It's not technically part of your pre-trip inspection, but it is very important for both while you're operating the vehicle and when you're walking up to your vehicle in a public space to make sure you know who's around, what's around, and that you're safe.
Communicate. So if you are using someone else's car, your parents, your friend, a neighbor, a loaner, a rental, if something's making noise or feels funny, make sure when you return that car that you let them know and that it's not something that they have to find out in a few more days when it's worse.
Another good habit is use common sense. Sidebar, we've been asked to do an episode about common sense, which we think we'll do in a little while. But keep your car clean. Do regular maintenance, such as those oil changes and other fluid changes. It's your transportation. It's crazy expensive. So take pride in it and take care of it.
Please, please keep your car clean. Nobody wants to ask for a ride and have to dig through your garbage or old food to find the seatbelt.
What are some good tips for young adults about being prepared and set up before you drive? I've reviewed thoroughly and implored all of my children to do this before they do it. In my fire service career and in my EMS career, I've been to hundreds, if not thousands, of accidents. I really, really, really get bothered by any type of distracted driving. It's really important to me, particularly as young adults, that you guys get good habits for this. So before you get in, you go down the mental checklist. Know your route. Don't rely always on your GPS. Have a general idea of where you're going, especially if it's a new place. True story. We had an AT&T outage not long ago, and young employees were calling work from local gas stations along their route to either get directions or tell us they couldn't get to work because their GPS wasn't working. That's really poor form.
Check the weather. Make sure that it's not, you know, raining, snowy, foggy, uncomfortable for you to drive in. You guys are young. You don't have that much experience driving in, you know, weather conditions, and allow extra time. If it's pouring rain, people are going to slow down. You can't get around them. It's not safe. If it's snowing, it may take you longer to get to where you're going. Even fog slows people down. If you can't see two or three car lengths in front of you, you really can't go that fast.
Not only that, all the people reporting the fog on Waze slows you down too when you have to, still there. Enough fuel. Make sure you have enough fuel to get where you're going. I like to keep double the fuel I need, but I know I'm over the top with that. I also fill up basically every time I'm at a quarter tank. Yes, I have gone down to low fuel light. It feels exciting and makes me anxious, and I'm not good at it.
When? Was that like once in your life?
A few times.
I don't think so.
Mostly when you're in the car just to prove I can.
Yeah, because I think you can't handle that. I personally, until I met Paul, rode the E most of my young adulthood because I didn't have money for gas. I had to get where I was going and hope that I could get back.
I was taught by my father never to do that because if the zombie apocalypse spontaneously breaks out, I'm going to need fuel to escape. make sure you have your essentials on board. Think about what you might need for this trip in advance. And my big one here is sunglasses. I commute a long way each day to work. And every day, it astounds me the number of people that don't have sunglasses that I saw yesterday without those sunglasses. It's like they're surprised by the sun coming up. Make sure your phone charger is in the car. And if you're going to charge your phone, plug it in before you leave the driveway. Make sure you have water, snacks, or as I like to call them, car charcuties, and any necessary documents like your license, registration, and a valid insurance card.
And if you have any known car issues, something that you kind of knew, you know, sounded odd the last time you were driving, are you still comfortable driving your car with that noise? Does it need to go to a shop? Is it something that needs immediate attention or something that you can, you know, put off until you get home or have an opportunity to have a day off to take it to a shop?
Now, inside the car, you want to set yourself up for success. You don't have to do this every time if you're the only person using your car, but you want to quickly check it. Is your seat adjusted to the right spot? Can you reach the pedals? What happens sometimes, my car gets borrowed, and depending on the height of whichever child has borrowed it, I may have to move forward or back. All of my children seem to like to lower my seat for some reason, so I have to bring it back up. Adjust your mirrors if they've been adjusted. Make sure your seatbelt is on before you drive. And make sure the seatbelt placement is draped over your body like it's supposed to be. Your lap belt is supposed to be over your pelvis, not your belly. This is a public safety announcement brought to you by the PHTLS class I just recently took.
Put away distractions. Put your phone away. Seriously, put it in your bag, the glove compartment, put it in the back seat, put it in a driving mode that makes it quiet so that you don't have notifications constantly. Don't pick it up to check it. If you're using it for a GPS, I understand that you're using it. Put it in your phone holder and look at it and follow the directions. They have voice mode. You can hear when the next turn is coming. I over and over on a daily basis see people distracted, swerving lanes, slamming on their brakes, hitting other cars. And 2 seconds before that, they were watching a video or replying to a text or answering a phone by picking up their phone. It's just not safe and it's not necessary.
Another thing I remind my children is to make sure if they're using music, to set it before they go. Even just the act of looking down at that phone, and that phone should be either in a cup holder based cell phone holder or a cell phone holder, because I've seen people physically bent over their consoles, getting their phone off the passenger side floor while doing highway speeds out on Route 80. So make sure that it's in a holder and your music is set. I would prefer, honestly, to go back to the days of the Garmin GPS, where it was its own GPS and we could put the phones in the trunk. I know that's not realistic, and I know that we use them for so much more. Please be safe with them.
Set your GPS. So if you're going somewhere that you haven't been before and you're going to follow your GPS, put the address in before you leave, before you head in the direction that you're going, set it. There's no point. There's no reason to be driving along distracted by trying to put an address into your GPS.
Make sure you check your blind spots, both when you're first backing out of somewhere and when you're changing lanes on the highway. Physically turn around and look. I know today's cars have the cool 360 view cameras and the rear view cameras. Don't rely on them. It could be somebody's life. It could be a pet's life. Take the time to check your blind spots before you move your car. And when you're out on the highway, turn your head. Don't assume that the little light in your mirror that's telling you somebody's in your blind spot is working. Physically check that.
Know your car's controls. So, of course, it's your car. You should know where these things are, at least within a few weeks of driving. You've learned your car and you've learned where everything is. But if you're in someone else's car or a rental car, you have to know where emergency things are, like wipers and headlights and hazard lights, that even the defroster in the winter. Just learn and make yourself familiar with where all the controls are for the car that you're currently driving.
It's really important that you're focused and alert on driving. We downplay it like it's no big deal, but the reality is it's a several thousand pound piece of machinery that can cause a lot of damage to property or people. So you have to be mentally prepared to drive. And if you're too tired, stressed, or distracted, don't drive at that time. Take a break.
Be patient. It's thousands of pounds that you are controlling at speeds that are usually ridiculously fast. There are going to be detours, traffic, accidents. There's going to be so many things that cause your trip to slow down. Don't let frustration lead to aggressive driving. And if someone cuts you off, so what? As long as they didn't damage your car, cause an accident, let them go. No big deal. It's not worth your life, and it's not worth what some of these people out there have been doing as far as road rage goes.
Make sure you drive defensively. I would recommend that everyone take a defensive driving course. And basically, the main idea of defensive driving is always assume other drivers are going to make mistakes and be ready to react and adapt to them. Leave increased following distance. Yeah, I know that's hard where we live. I'm pretty good about counting my following distance, and every time I leave proper following distance, and Kathy will tell you the same thing, somebody just cuts in. Any accident that happens is going to be an inconvenience. Someone could get hurt. It's going to cost you money. Your car insurance is going to go up. It's not worth anything other than defensive driving, even slowing down a little bit to get where you're going.
And a lot of insurance companies give you a discount on your insurance if you have passed a defensive driving course.
All of this put together, it's more than just safety. If you follow the pre-trip inspection, you will reduce your stress because you'll know your car's in good shape. You'll be ready to go. You won't be anxious about where's my turn because you've mentally rehearsed your route. It saves time knowing your route and having the essentials. Avoids you having to stop at Quick Check. It also could save you money because you go into Quick Check for one thing, you buy 10 other things. It prevents accidents. Many accidents are caused by distracted driving. It definitely prevents accidents. And like I said, it saves you money in those unnecessary Quick Check stops, but also proper maintenance saves you from those bigger repairs.
So developing these habits early on will make you a safer, more responsible, and more confident driver. It might seem like a lot at first, but it quickly becomes second nature.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Be safe.
Just remember, you've got this, adults. Keep your head up, your spirits high, and keep adulting with us. Go forth and conquer the world, or at least your to-do list.
And don't forget to like, follow, and or subscribe. Tell your friends, share the podcast, and head over to adulting.com for more information and to connect with us. See you on the next episode. Be safe.